This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Well, to kick off a new year of Edgewise, we thought we would invite the guest of one of our most listened to podcasts. It's our pleasure to have with us today Stephen M. R. Covey, the co-founder and CEO of Covey Link Worldwide. He is the author of The Speed of Trust, a book that challenges the age-old assumption that trust is merely a soft social virtue. Instead, Covey's book demonstrates that trust is a hard-edged economic driver, a learnable and measurable skill that makes organizations more profitable, people more promotable, and relationships more energizing. Stephen, welcome back. Your book came out a little over a year ago, and I know that it's become very popular and you've been making appearances and getting tremendous feedback. What's been the response from your audience, and do you see a pattern occurring as a result of your presentations?
I've been very happy with the response because it's been positive. People are resonating with it. It makes sense to them. It's intuitive to them. They connect with it. And here's the pattern I see emerging. There's three big ideas that people seem to respond to. The first is that there's a business case for trust. So it's not just this soft social virtue, it's really an economic driver. That's compelling to people. The second is that in this new global economy, the ability to create trust is the key competency of a leader needed today, more than anything else, because of the nature of the new economy. It's interdependent, depends upon relationships, partnering, collaboration, the whole process of working together at a level never before experienced with this global world, this flat world, as Thomas Friedman calls it, and trust is vital for that. And then the third is that you can do something about trust. Trust is a competency, something you can learn, you can do. And people respond to that because many have somewhat kind of said, well, gosh, can't do anything about this. And then as they reflect on it and look at examples and models, they realize you can do something about it. It is a skill.
I know you've come up with some specific behaviors, but before we talk about those, could you tell me a little bit about this economic value of trust?
The premise is this: trust always affects two measurable outcomes, speed and cost. And the economics of trust are these: when trust goes down in a relationship, on a team, with a client, in a company, when trust goes down, you will see speed go down, everything will take you longer to do, and cost will go up. Everything will cost you more. That is a tax, a low trust tax. Now, thankfully, the opposite is true as well. When trust goes up in a relationship, on a team, in a company, with a client, you will see speed go up as well. Everything can be done faster, while cost will come down. Everything costs less. That is a dividend, a high trust dividend. And really, it's that simple, that real, that predictable. Speed and cost are always affected by trust. What's interesting about this, though, is that we often don't immediately see it. It's hidden. It's what I call the hidden variable, where people don't recognize that there's a trust tax at play when the trust is low. If it showed up on the income statement as a trust tax, we'd be working on this. Instead, it's disguised and hidden in the income statement, in the balance sheet, in the culture, in other ways, through the redundancy and the bureaucracy and the politics and the disengagement of people and the turnover, all these things that cause the tax to go up and the cost to go higher and higher. And yet, it's not always labeled as a trust tax. But the reality is, it is. It's just a matter of being able to see beneath the surface and call things what they really are, and you'll see that the economics of trust play out in every organization.
Looking at the roles of various managers within an organization, I'd be curious to know, what's the role of the chief executive officer? Many of them would say that they have no involvement in creating a culture of trust. It happens all at the lower levels. How does the CEO impact the issue of trust?
The CEO can be the primary driver of trust, and is, whether they maybe know it or not. It's not something that they really can delegate. It's not someone else's responsibility, it's theirs. But it's also the responsibility of every leader within a company. But ideally, if you get your CEO to understand this and buy into it, that they are the model for the culture of trust or distrust, That makes a profound difference. Let me just illustrate. There was a CEO of a company one time that took his company public, and he told his team and the other shareholders around him, don't sell any stock because we want to stabilize the stock price. He turned around and sold some stock. Now, he justified it because he only sold a minuscule portion of what he owned. But this was after he communicated, let's not sell any stock. Now, his justification didn't fly with people. The question is, what kind of culture do they have there, really? And it's led at the top. When the CEO now says, here's our strategy, are people going to believe him? Do they trust him? In this case, no. They'd already seen their answer. He said he was going to do something and told everyone else to do that, and then he himself didn't walk the talk. So the CEO absolutely leads it. But at the same time, we shouldn't see ourselves as powerless. If the CEO in our company is not leading the way, it'd be easy to point the finger and blame and say, hey, it's a low-trust culture and it'll remain low-trust forever until the CEO gets on board. And there's some merit to that. The flip side is, though, every individual can do an extraordinary job at creating trust within their own circle of influence, whatever that is, and become a catalyst for trust and can create an island of excellence in a sea of mediocrity, an island of great trust in a sea of distrust. And in doing that, become an extraordinary, credible influence in an entire company. And I've seen it happen. I've seen people in the middle or even at the bottom that have influenced the entire organization and helped build a culture of trust, starting where they could with themselves, with their relationships, with their own team, and then gaining more and more influence with other people as they move out.
What are the specific behaviors that we can do that will help to build this culture of trust, or at least build trust between us and those that we work with?
Here's a simple process for building trust. We always start with self-trust, and that's our own credibility. Credibility comes from the Latin term credere, which means to believe. So credibility literally means believability. So we focus on our own believability, our own credibility first, and that's integrity, truthfulness, and congruence, doing what we say we're going to do and doing what we say we value. It also refers to intent, our motive, our agenda. And the intent that builds trust with people and makes you credible is if people believe that you are acting in their best interest. If they believe that and sense that about you, they'll tend to trust you. But if they don't, if they think that you're acting in your own best interest and not for the others that you're serving, they'll tend not to trust you. They'll withhold the trust and you'll be less credible in their eyes. So your intent matters, your motive matters a great deal. They also look at your capabilities. These are your talents, your skills, your knowledge that enable you then to be deserving of the trust that people place in you because you're current, you're relevant. And then finally, people look at your track record, your results. They look at your past performance, your current performance, because they're projecting upon you future performance. So those four things, integrity, intent, capabilities, and results, make you credible. So that's step one, credibility through those four areas. Step two then is behavior, consistent behavior, observable behavior. And the whole idea now is that building on a foundation of credibility, which is the foundation of trust, you now need to behave in ways with other people that build trust, to interact in the ways that will grow it and avoid those behaviors that diminish it. And we've identified in the Speed of Trust book 13 behaviors common to high trust leaders, high trust people everywhere. And these are things such as talking straight, creating transparency, righting wrongs, delivering results, practicing accountability, and keeping commitments, things that you would kind of expect. And what's interesting is that for most companies, the problem is not so much the opposite of the behavior. Sometimes it is. Like the opposite of the behavior of talking straight is to lie. Sometimes there's lying going on, and people sense that, and they quickly don't trust someone that's lying. The problem is what I call the counterfeit behaviors, the deceptive, sometimes deceitful things. They're not the real deal. They look like the real deal, but upon closer inspection, like counterfeit money, you realize that they're not. So rather than talking straight, yeah, they're not lying, but they're spinning, they're twisting, they're posturing, they're positioning, they're manipulating. They're technically telling the truth, but they're leaving the wrong impression. And that has a cost of trust. And every behavior has a counterfeit. It has an opposite as well. Like, you know, right wrongs, the opposite is that you deny the wrong. The counterfeit is that you cover it up. you disguise it. And it's the counterfeit that is the real danger in companies, because at face value, it might look acceptable. It might even be the common practice within a company, but it has a huge cost. Instead of being transparent, people operate with hidden agendas. Instead of taking responsibility and practicing accountability, people blame and point the finger at other people. See, those are all counterfeit behaviors. And the net effect of that is it will diminish trust. But the flip side is when you behave in those ways, those 13 ways that we describe in the Speed of Trust book, you will build trust, especially if you're behaving in those ways on top of the foundation of credibility, those four cores of credibility that I mentioned.
To wrap this all up, Stephen, what are the key questions that our audience really needs to ask themselves to measure the degree of trust in their own relationships?
A question that you ask yourself constantly is, who do you trust? We're asking that all the time. Can I trust this person? Can I trust that person? Those are legitimate questions. And when the trust is high, everything happens faster, less cost. But when it's low, we're questioning, we're wondering, we're doubting. So those are fair questions. Who do you trust? But I'll give you an even more important question to ask and to answer, is to put a mirror up to that question of who do you trust and ask, who trusts you? Does your team trust you? Does your boss trust you? Do your peers trust you? Do your customers trust you? Do the people that you work with trust you? Does your family trust you? Do you know the answer to this? Could you know? Should you know? Does it matter? See, these are all important questions to really consider about how trusted am I? Because if it were just a nice, soft social virtue, we might say, well, it's unfortunate, but I'm not very trusted. And we might leave it at that. But there's an economic consequence to it. So I think it's vital that we learn, how trusted am I? And what can I do to increase the trust? For many people, they don't know. They've never asked. So we've created this little tool, whotrustyou.com. It's a free survey that people can do to gain an understanding of who trusts me. And they can send it out to the selected people. It could be peers, boss, reports, customers, family members. You can decide who you want to send it out to. And you get a feedback of how trusted are you? Are you trusted? Why or why not type of thing? And for many, it's maybe the first time they've ever considered it and thought about it. And it can be very, very revealing and insightful. And sometimes surprising, sometimes validating what they already know. It's important that we know and understand how trusted are we so that we can work on our own credibility and our behavior to increase the trust in our relationships. WhoTrustYou.com.
It's truly been a pleasure to have Stephen M. R. Covey back. I don't know, Stephen, I guess we'll be doing this every couple of months. We'll get you back. Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much.
It's time for You've Been Spotted, where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our five executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. And now here's Kevin Lee.
I'm here at AMA Seminar, Coaching and Counseling for Outstanding Job Performance, taught by faculty leader Duffy Spencer. And I'm asking participants to make their own New Year's resolution for building trust in their working relationships.
My resolution for 08 is to establish a climate of trust where the people I work with will be comfortable telling me bad news just as well as good news. I manage an internal audit team, and people tend to work very independently on simultaneous projects. And therefore, it's important that we trust each other to report the status of those projects and whether or not things are coming along well or whether or not there's problems.
I want to share more of myself with the people that I work with. So my resolution is going to be to be more candid about expressing my feelings and to also share some of my experiences and my feelings with them so that they feel like they've got someone human that they're talking to and that I'm not just a manager telling them what to do and interested in the sake of getting to the end goal.
The biggest thing would be being open, forthright, and honest. I think definitely a history with someone who I've had issues with in the past, that makes it even more difficult going forward into the new year, determining how much do I trust them, can I trust them, and just be willing to maybe take the first step and to trust them more.
I'm Dr. Duffy Spencer, and I'm teaching coaching and counseling for outstanding job performance. You know, you're always looking at two basic aspects. Am I trustworthy? And can I trust other people? We have the old way of looking at it, the traditional tried and true, which is, does a person do what they say they're going to do? And that's something that we learn about someone over time. Yet in a speedaholic society, we sometimes have to look at instant trust. One of the things is presence. Are they with me totally? And I can tell that through the eye contact, through the facial expressions, the primary ways that we communicate nonverbally. And do you have substance? And the third major aspect is non-judgment. Is a person really listening to me without wanting to judge me?
I think trust is something that you earn by demonstrating it yourself. How you handle situations where people have made mistakes is very important, and using those as coaching opportunities rather than opportunities to shame and blame.
I think the biggest thing I've seen for myself is that I need to encourage people more. There's very different styles. I'm very good at instructing and clarifying and persuading, but in terms of encouraging, I've had a gap there, and so I want to spend more time doing that.
What I've gained thus far has been understanding each individual's style and being able to change my style to deal with that particular individual.
Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. One of our listeners will receive either a $200 discount on an AMA seminar or a free book from AMACOM, a division of American Management Association. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.